This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
News, traffic, and the latest on the Redbirds. This is the Redbird Rush Hour on KMOX.
All right, Tuesday on the Redbird Rush Hour, show number two, Matt Pauly, not in Memphis today, but here in studio.
Back in St. Louis, made the trip down I-55
good
this
to
morning.
See you. Well, you made it up I-55.
And I think that's going to be yesterday, up today. Yep.
That's going to be a heavily trafficked corridor for the Cardinals roster, I would think. It is in most years. I mean, that's not to say that this year is going to be a lot different than others, but there are definitely some players that are going to help them this year that are going to be stationed in Memphis initially. And you know, injuries come up and guys are going to struggle and you're going to see people going up and down that corridor.
Yeah. With the two things that'll be interesting on that is first off, which guys result the movement is because of performance. Because if a relief pitcher is struggling, then you've got a million guys that you can bring up. And then obviously from an injury standpoint, how healthy can this team remain? Because knock on wood, on behalf of Cardinals fans, I hate the words that are about to come out of my mouth, Kevin.
Don't do it.
This was as healthy of a spring training as I can ever remember.
Yeah. It'll only last so long, but yeah. It's great to have it that way with other teams losing players of real significance. So we have a lot to do. There are a lot of ways for you to join us. Obviously, 104.1 KMOX is amazing. That's the best place to hear us. We are still on the AM dial in case you want to go there and you're a little further out. You can pick us up on youtube.com/KMOX Sports. You can get us on Twitter. You can get us on Facebook so you can watch Matt and I make faces at the camera. While we're talking baseball. And Matt, yeah, you're in a position where you're almost looking away from your camera, and I got to look right through my camera at you, so I'm going to be staring at the camera like an idiot.
Okay.
You'll look like a normal person.
Because of I-55, I was driving, I was listening to 104.1, and it was a strong signal about 15 miles past about Festus. That's how far south I got before the signal started to go away. Yeah. So that's great news.
Absolutely.
Hello to our friends in the Festus, Crystal City, Herculaneum area.
Jump on in. Everybody that's joining us on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook, throw your comments in, questions, opinions, whatever. We're going to mix those in regularly as we do the Redbird Rush Hour every single weekday here in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, so this is kind of a scene setter segment. We're going to treat today and tomorrow, Matt, like season preview. Okay, we're not going to go over spring training things. We don't need to beat any of those things to death anymore because we've got some closure on certain things. It looks like the lineup is going to make some sense. We don't have to whine about that anymore.
That's nice.
That's going to be great.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. We all agree, and we have agreed on this, you, me, Bernie, Tom, everybody that we've had on the Gas House Gang over the time, as we've talked about this in the office, this 2025 is a critical year for this franchise. You have a big change coming to start next year with a new president of baseball operations that hasn't been the case for a very long time. And to launch that, this team needs to get a lot of information this year. They need answers on players because we've dealt with this for now 2 or 3 years, understandably because of circumstances sometimes beyond the team's control. Players aging, players getting hurt, whatever. We have too many question marks. We don't know enough about each of these guys. This year, we got to know. We got to know what Nolan Gorman is. We got to know at least some idea what Jordan Walker is. We've got to know what you've got in Michael McGreevy. We got to know what you've got in Matthew Liberatore. I'm not going to list them all because there's probably 15 guys that we need to know about before next offseason.
Yeah, and I think the Nolan Gorman conversation is actually the most interesting conversation of this whole thing because it very quickly changed from he's one of the guys who's going to get the runway. He and Jordan Walker are the two biggest keys. How many times did I say that? I don't even count anybody else. How many times in the past 5 months did I say Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker are the single biggest keys to the Cardinals this year? And now all of a sudden it's looking like he's going to have a hard time being part of like that standard everyday lineup. And don't get me wrong, he's going to get his at-bats and it's all going to work out. But as far as just penciling him in the lineup every single day, I'm not sure if that's what it's going to look like. And I think there's a bigger conversation to be had because what does that mean about the team thinks about him, his future? What does that mean about what the team thinks about like this year from a competitive standpoint? Like there's so many different kind of tentacles that come off this Gorman thing.
Well, I mean, this is part of the reason why I've made the argument that, you know, I understand that plan A, B, and C were to trade Nolan Arenado. You should have had a plan D.
Right.
There should have been an alternate that says, you know what, if we can't do that, we probably should clear a spot that's not in this group and rely on our depth guys that are going to be at Memphis to step in. But I will say, we talked about this when we thought that the way it would play out would be more Alec Burleson is the 10th man as opposed to Gorman. Doesn't really matter. I don't think it's very hard to envision 4 or 5 starts a week for Gorman as the 10th man. Because all you got to give Burley one day off. You know, I'm talking about when he would play.
Right.
You give Nolan Arenado one day off. You're going to give Newt a day off here and there because you need to keep him healthy.
Right.
Victor Scott's going to get a day off here and there. Like, there are going to be ways. Maybe a tough, tough righty. You're facing Paul Skeens. Not fair to Gorman. But maybe Walker gets that day off. And they have the ability to twist that dial and move guys to different spots to create those opportunities.
Yeah, Donovan is the key because he can go play just about anywhere. Sidebar, for people who weren't watching the game last night, Gorman, Arenado hits his 3-run dinger and he's done for the night.
Yep.
Gorman immediately comes in, plays third. He looked really good defensively at third base. He made a couple plays at third yesterday that I've not seen him make before.
No, he's going to be perfectly fine there, but the question is the bat.
Sure.
And I think, you know, the reason I think it's important to note, you know, that when you and I have talked about this, Gorman and Walker are at the front of the list of people we are talking about because you need to know if you need middle of the order bats going into next year. Mm-hmm. You have one right now, which is for sure, and that's Contreras. He's healthy. He's a middle-of-the-order bat. Newt Barr might be. I think he's got that ability, but I also like him at the top where he is right now. But other than that, maybe Herrera. So, again, another answer to the questions that we're talking about. Is he going to catch enough to be your cleanup hitter? I mean, how much are they going to want to play Pajes, and how much does that change all of that? But you got to find out if Gorman and Walker can be that next year. If they can't be that next year, they could still be it down the road, but you cannot be a good team without power in the middle.
And you've got more time to figure out Walker than you do Gorman because J.J. Weatherholt's going to be here before you know it.
He's starting at double A, by the way.
Right. So you have to, at some point, we're talking about no space for Gorman now.
Yeah.
And Weatherholt's not here yet. You've got to figure out whether or not you need to work to clear a space to keep Gorman in this organization or not.
Fascinating stuff. All right, we got a lot to do as we go through the day today. We're going to talk more about Nolan Arenado, a guy that I like a lot, Eno Saris, who does great work for The Athletic, has some real evidence-based observations on why he thinks Nolan Arenado is going to hit 30 home runs this year, which would be great, by the way, for him and for the team, because you'll probably get to trade him if he does that. We'll talk about that. I want to talk about how speed can be a real weapon for this team this year.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Redbird Rush Hour with Matt Pauly and Kevin Wheeler with you here on 104.1 at KMOX and 1120 as well. And on YouTube, the KMOX Sports Channel, and on Twitter and on Facebook. You can join us any one of those ways. We'd love to have you take a look, say hi. You like my R2-D2 shirt, you may you can comment on that or anything Cardinals related.
You're a nerd.
Matt, you're not wearing an R2-D2 shirt. I'm very disappointed
in
you.
No, I'm wearing a K-State jacket.
That's all right. It's a little less nerdy, but still, it's sports nerdy at the very least. Okay. Mine is just nerdy. Let's talk about shortstop for a second. And I mentioned this in the first segment, but we are treating today and tomorrow kind of as a broad preview of 2025, getting into bigger stories, not so much lineup things and stuff like that, because we've done a lot of that through the spring. But I think this is a fascinating year. There is a lot on Mason Wynn.
Ton.
Thankfully, you know, at least initially, it looks like it won't be the leadoff spot because he's struggled with that. He struggled with that last year, too. It's not just a spring training thing. But he's a guy that's certainly going to be an everyday player. But you don't have a backup shortstop on the major league roster. You don't really have a true shortstop that you would love to play regularly in the big leagues at Memphis. Your true shortstop at Memphis is Jose Barrero. He's played 500 games at shortstop in his professional career. 400 in the minors, about 100 in the majors. That's probably your best defensive option at short, but he's a wild swinger. Think Javi Baez, a little pop, but he's going to swing at everything. And then you got Fermin, who's a contact guy, but he's not a good defender at short. And then maybe J.J. Weatherholt?
Mm.
Now, I bet he's going to play there for Springfield, and he's starting at Double-A. I don't think this is the plan.
Right.
But what I wanted to ask you, and we can kick around for a couple minutes, is what happens if Wynn does go on the injured list? Because there's no great option unless it's like June and Weatherholt's killing it.
Yeah, so Wynn did turn his ankle a little bit in yesterday's game.
Yeah.
And the trainers came out and took a look at him.
A little scary.
I'm having flashbacks to Dylan Carlson and Jordan Walker colliding in Arizona last year against the Cubs before, 2 days before the season, just like that. But he told the trainers to stay in the dugout. They didn't. And then he takes his at bat and he steals a base. So he clearly was trying to show he's fine. I think it was telling that the one Memphis player who was on the Cardinals roster in last night's game was Jose Barrero.
Yeah.
You know, Jose Fermin started in left field. By the way, he made some really nice plays in left field last night. I was impressed by that. But Barrero was the guy who they had on the big league team last night. So I have no doubt in my mind. If it's if Fermin is on the roster and you need to give Wynn
a
day, then Fermin can do that.
Yeah.
But if Wynn is injured and you need an extended amount of time from somebody at shortstop, it has to be Barrero. It can't be Donovan. It can't be Fermin.
No.
It can't be a bunch of guys. Barrero is, and yeah, that creates a 40-man move. But you know what?
It does.
Zach Thompson is on. He could be moved to the 60-day injury list.
Yeah.
So he's on the 10-day.
10-day, yeah.
Whatever. He's a pitcher, so 15. But anyways, they could move him to the 60-day. Yesterday, Mo talked about that a little bit. He said that they felt like Thompson might be able to get back before the 60 days, so that's why they didn't do it. But push comes to shove, you need a spot on the 40-man roster, and it's going to cost you 2 weeks of Zach Thompson. Go do it.
But the short-term message is, if Wynn goes on the injured list, probably say a little prayer.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be a great option that you're looking at in the short term with you know, Weatherholt still needing to show a lot before you would call upon him to give him the opportunity.
Right, and you don't want to start his clock this soon.
Nah, well, if he's killing it, And you're seeing a reason, but I would say it's not ideal if it's the first half of the year, maybe later on in the season to see how that plays out. All right, coming up after the news, we're going to talk a bit about a projection that says Nolan Arenado will hit 30 home runs this year. And it's not an opinion piece. It's an evidence-based piece. We don't know that it's going to work, but we're going to talk a bit about that and how speed can be a weapon as we continue the Redbird Rush Hour here on 104.1 KMOX. All right, 5:35, it is the Redbird Rush Hour on KMOX. It's 104.1 KMOX to you. And it's still 11:20 as well, but I tell you, do the 104.1. It's pretty awesome.
Sounds so good.
If you are joining us on the stream, you can wave and say hello. Lauren just, and by the way, Lauren's great. She's one of our regular viewers on the Gas House Gang and has joined us the last couple nights here. So hi, Lauren. Thanks for doing that. We appreciate you. Your questions, comments, opinions are always welcome. The best way to get them to us is if you're on the streaming services. So if you're on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, you can send the messages straight through there and we can see them on the screen while you see us on the screen.
Well, we'll take text messages, 314-436-7900.
Mix all that in there too. Yep. But Lauren just texted in and said that one about Arenado hitting 30 home runs. I really want to hear that. So Eno Saris wrote this for The Athletic. I'm not going to go into the big details because it's going to take too long to lay it out. But Eno Saris has a column up that is essentially he's looking at what he calls kind of like I'm trying to think of the right way he put this. It was something along the lines of not outrageous predictions, but like he's going out on some limbs making predictions for the 2025 season. And one of his predictions was that Nolan Arenado is going to hit 30 home runs this year. And it's not based on just a guess. It's not his gut. Eno's an analytics guy. And he looked at the bat speed improvements that you and I've talked about a lot when it comes to spring training. And Nolan's bat speed jumped quite a bit from last year to the spring. Now, the results weren't great. I know he saw that too, though. Eno's no dummy. He's a smart guy. But he's using real measurements to say that Nolan Arenado is going to hit 30. I don't know if I buy it. But how big a deal would that be?
Well, he doesn't have to hit 30 to be better than what he did last year.
That's true.
So that's the first thing. So the fact that we can even have the conversation about 30 is notable. He hit a home run yesterday in the first inning. He had a three-run shot that just barely cleared the wall in Memphis out in left field. His bat speed numbers, Kevin, were fantastic when spring started, and then they started to come down a little
bit.
They
did.
And so I still don't think we know who he is and what the bat speed is actually going to be quite yet. I want more data, want more evidence, want to see them get into the regular season and what that looks like. But all along, we have known that Arenado is clearly a candidate to be a big-time bounce-back candidate this year. And I think we could see that. And the fact that some of the underlying numbers, and he spent so much time in the offseason, give Arenado credit where credit's deserved. He spent so much time in the offseason focusing on those type of things, being able to get the bat speed, using the quick twitch muscles, all that stuff. That's what he focused on. So you would hope that there would be some fruit to that labor.
Yeah. So he went in and he looked at the 10 players who in spring training showed the most increased in bat speed. And he was, I think, third or fourth.
Isn't Lucan Baker on that list?
No, because I don't think they have enough data on him in the big leagues from last year to compare it to. But Arenado went from 70.7 to 74.1, which is a pretty big jump. Now, again, we're not saying it's going to happen. I want to be clear. I find information from people that are looking at things from different views than we are. Because we're looking at it, and we see Nolan Arenado every day. So the good and the bad and everything stands out. Eno's not doing it that way. He's looking at what does the data tell me and what normally works. So what he's looking at is, when somebody's bat speed is 70 miles an hour, they tend to produce this much. And when somebody's bat speed is this much, is 74, they tend to produce this much based on the other characteristics, right? So Arenado doesn't walk. He does swing a lot. So he's measuring all those things. And again, I think 30 would be a lot, But if it's 30 guys, you're going to be able to trade him in July if you need to.
Yeah, my only pushback on this is that the data has been changing too much. He did not come in at one speed and just stay at that speed because it has been moving. I don't know if the data that he used is going to actually be what it looks like when the season gets started.
No, it's fascinating to see where that's going to play out, but I thought that was fun. All right, we're talking speed next up. All right, 542, Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler with you on the Redbird Rush Hour on 104.1 KMOX. I just like how that sounds.
It's good.
I like that, 104.1 KMOX.
Point or no point? I
like it both ways. I don't know. 104.1 KMOX sounds just as cool.
Do we have the official, like...
I think it's without the point, but okay. I'm an idiot, so I do it the wrong way sometimes.
All right, that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know me.
Yeah.
I screwed things up.
You're part of the DGS. It just exudes into Redbird Rush Hour.
Well, I had that before I was ever on DGS. All right, so let's continue on with speed for a minute here. We're talking about this a bit. You and I on the phone a little earlier today. I talked about it with Tom Ackerman today, standing in the hallways. I talked about it with Klaibs today, who was here in the building. It was great to see Klaibs. But when we saw the lineup yesterday, we touched on this briefly, I think, yesterday when we talked about the lineup that had Lars Nootbaar batting leadoff. So Nootbaar, Contreras, Donovan. But then at the bottom, 8 and 9, Victor Scott and Mason Wynn.
Yeah, I like it.
And what I love about this, and this is why I wanted to get into speed. I think it's fairly well understood in baseball now. And that's why I wanted to bring this up. It's not going back to Whitey Ball. It's nothing like that. But it's pretty well understood now. Your best opportunities to steal bags and be aggressive is at the bottom of the lineup. Because what you don't want is a guy batting leadoff in front of your best hitter, stealing a bag, and then the other team pitching around your best hitter. So you could do that in a couple ways.
And two things, not to cut you off, but you don't want that. You also don't want to risk an out with a runner on base with one of your best hitters.
Sure,
at the plate.
Sure. So, although with a lot of these guys, it's an 80-85% success rate. I always thought the risk argument was bullcrap. Because look, the average base stealer in baseball is safe 75% of the time. What offensive play is successful 75% of the time?
There's not one.
None. So I always thought that was overplayed. Just don't put a bad base stealer up there. Put somebody up there that's going to be safe 80-90% of the time, which the elite guys are. And there are solutions, by the way. If you want to have a leadoff man, like let's say later in the year, Victor Scott's going to lead off. If you want to put a little buffer between him and Contreras so that you're not opening a base in front of Contreras all the time when he steals, you can put a guy there. You can put a Newt there. You can whatever. But in this scenario, I love that if these guys can get on base at an even reasonable amount, 32%, 33 or more, they could do a lot of damage and create a lot of chaos leading into Newt, but then also meaning base runners in scoring position for Wilson Contreras, who is your best hitter.
Yeah, I love the idea of Scott on base, then Wynn gets on, and those two pulling off a double steal. I can see that.
I just want to see the chaos because that messes with teams.
And Scott is Captain Chaos when it comes to the bases. He is somebody who, as much as anybody in Major League Baseball, you have to pay attention to. And we have seen that can rattle pitchers. There are pitchers that get distracted by those sort of things. So we had this conversation on the Gas House Gang a week ago or so where I mentioned one of the reasons I like the idea of Scott being in that leadoff spot is just because all of a sudden you can get a first inning that just goes bad really fast for a pitcher. And part of that can be connected to Scott being on the bases. You could do that with him in the eighth spot too. And I like him down there. I like that there's almost like different chapters to the lineup.
Yes, different looks.
Yeah, as you go along, it looks different from one moment to the next. And as a pitcher, you're going to have to change your approach and that type of thing. I think we make too much of lineups, generally speaking. That being said, I like this lineup.
I like the idea because Ollie's talked about using speed as much as you can. This team has not taken advantage of the new rules as much as other teams have with the bigger bases and the limited pickoffs because they really haven't had the personnel to take advantage of that. But if Mason Wynn has been able to make the improvements he's talked about in getting better reads and jumps and Victor Scott is able to do that, I think the ability to turn walks and singles into doubles, maybe even triples, and doing that leading into your best hitters coming up, that's how you can use the bottom of the order to do that.
Look, in today's baseball, you just don't string hits together. That's just something that
rally era.
Right. So what you have to do is when you happen to get a base hit, it's going to be really helpful if you can have a runner on in scoring position. So get, if you've got a guy on first, get him to second. Find a way to get him to second, because that way, if you do happen to get a hit, you're scoring a run. And that's what goes back to last year, where the team so struggled hitting with runners in scoring position. You just need to be a little bit better this year. And with some of these guys in the lineup who should be able to turn those singles into doubles, that should result in more run scoring.
Chris is watching us on YouTube. He said, I remember the chaos that Billy Hamilton used to create. He couldn't hit. But when he got on, it was chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, obviously, all of us here, we watched Whitey Ball. I mean, we know what that looks like when it's a better version of it, right? Like, they were the better version of what Billy Hamilton was later on. But yes, that kind of speed can be really useful, especially now with the changes that favor base dealers and base runners. And, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time here. We can continue this part of the conversation coming up after a quick look at traffic and everything. But I think that this is a team that's got to be creative to make sure that they're scoring enough. And that means using platoon splits at times, using Luke and Baker as a weapon, using the top of the lineup the way they are. I love the all your best guys clustered at the top. And you can use this speed element at the bottom to do some of those same things too. And this is a team that probably needs to do that. So we'll get into a few more things on the offense. I'm going to ask you, we're going to each make one prediction in the next segment too.
Okay.
One prediction for 2025. It can be whatever you want. I'm focused on a player. I'm going to make a call about a player that I think is going to have a really big year this year.
All right.
And obviously, you can do the same thing, or you can go the other direction. Any way you want to do that. So that's going to come up on the other side of our check of traffic. We're going to do that one more time in just a couple of minutes. So hang tight. You got the Redbird Rush Hour with Matt Pauley and Kevin Wheeler with you here on 104.1 KMOX. Redbird Rush Hour, 104.1 FM, KMOX. Matt Pauley, Kevin Wheeler with you here for a few more minutes. I'm going to ask you for a prediction. I'm going to make one as well.
Okay.
But obviously, I want to remind everybody, you can still stream us the way that you always did on Gas House Gang. So on the KMOX Sports YouTube page, Facebook page, on our Twitter page, all of it's there. We see a lot of people jumping in and streaming with us. We love you. And if you have questions, comments, opinions, feel free to throw them at us. And obviously, we'll do that on the text line as we move along as well. You want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
All right. So you give me just any prediction you want about the 2025 Cardinals.
Lars Nootbaar stays healthy and has a monster year.
Nice. That'd be good for my fantasy team.
Like,
I've had him on my fantasy team now for a few years. He's great when he's healthy, man.
Yeah, so I don't think that he... Like, there are some guys who are prone to injuries and some guys who have fluky injuries. I think what we've seen from Nootbaar has been fluky injuries and not that he's prone to it. So the bad luck has been there long enough for him. He's going to have a healthy season.
All right, my prediction is going to be... a little bit. I'm not trying to say off the radar or anything like that. I think it's just a month ago would have seemed like a longer shot. I think Matthew Liberatore is going to be a solid starter. I think he's going to be what you wanted Steven Matz to be when you signed him.
Okay.
He's going to stay healthy. He's going to make 20 plus starts. And again, with a 6-man rotation later, I don't know exactly what number that's going to be. It could be 25, whatever. But I think that with Mo's comment about him taking it to another level with his strength and conditioning in the offseason, and essentially the way Mo put it on Sports on a Sunday a couple of weeks ago was he did the things you need to do to be a major league starting pitcher physically, like from a physical standpoint, because the problem with Liberatore has always been he's had a hard time repeating his delivery.
Sure.
And a lot of that was because he didn't have the strength to do it. And again, doesn't mean he wasn't working before. There are new ways to do things. There are, the way you always did things is not always what you need to do in the future. And it doesn't mean it was wrong before. It just means you learn from what you're not doing well. And when one of the things is you don't have the ability to repeat your delivery, it can be a challenge to do that. But added strength, a little bit more muscle mass. You know, they like to say, the pitching coaches like to say, mass means gas.
Yeah.
So when you get bigger and you get stronger, you get heavier, you're going to be able to maintain velocity deeper into games. I think Matthew Liberatore, so I would say for this year, I think he will be what people would qualify as a very good fourth starter.
So I agree with that. I think the fact that he doesn't have to look over his shoulder is going to be huge for him.
Huge.
Yeah, so there's no reason to believe he can't have a good season. Maybe a conversation for later on this week, Kevin, is the impact of the 6-man rotation, because John Mozeliak talked about this a little bit in the Memphis dugout yesterday. in a perfect world, you get more length from your starters in a six-man rotation because there's an extra day. But also, we know about starters facing a lineup for the third time. So those two things kind of butt up against each other. Which one of those wins out? And I think that's a really interesting conversation.
Well, I mean, it's a give and take, right? Because if you're going six or seven, but you're not doing it on 5 days, are you going to be a better guy the third time through?
Maybe.
If you're getting – this is why I think it's fascinating. Yeah. But I will say this. When you go six-man, this is one of the things I don't like about the six-man, but I like it for this team right now because of the current circumstances. Because Sonny doesn't look right, because Mats has injury issues, because Libertor is going to be starting for the first time in a while, because Palante's coming off a career high in innings. They have a lot to manage with this group, and a six-man can help with that. I think when you're fully healthy and good to go, you need to be five, but you have to get those extra innings from your starters. Otherwise, you're going to crash your bullpen.
Right, and that's the key. I would be curious to see over a full season a bunch of teams doing it if there are less injuries in a six-man rotation because everybody gets more rest.
Yeah, yeah. And Lauren said she'd want to hear more about this. Yeah, we're going to get more into this, not just tomorrow, but obviously throughout the early weeks of the season in the lead-up to the time when they're actually going to go to that. All right, quick tease. What's coming up on Sports Open Line tonight?
Yeah, we've got it's going to be mostly baseball for the 2 hours. So we're going to take these next 2 days and kind of do what we've been doing here on Redbird Rush Hour, that we're just going to be continuing to preview the season, taking phone calls, taking text messages, the whole thing. We'll have a new stream up as well. So for those of you
who Sports Open Line one, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll if you're watching on YouTube.
Just stay on the KMOX Sports version of everything. It'll be there.
Turn off and we'll get you turned back on.
All right, good stuff. Matt Pauly's got Sports Open Line coming up after the top of the hour news, episode number 2, the Redbird Rush Hour, in the books on 104.1 KMOX.